Yeah. Okay, so welcome to the podcast. This is another Mind Hive podcast. I'm here with Justin, and it's the...
What? I just thought you were welcoming me.
Oh, welcome.
Because you made eye contact when you said it, and I was like...
Welcome.
But to the listener. Hello, listener.
Listener.
We should just have a phone call with this person.
we could just invite them round as well.
And say, look, we're going to stop recording, and you can sit there and watch us talk.
Yeah. So just get in contact with us, whoever you are. Let us know who you are, and then we'll...
Save him a lot of time.
We'll invite you around and just join you.
Just crush anyone's dreams.
No, I'm actually really really grateful for everyone who's actually been listening lately, because apparently there's more than one of you, so thanks guys.
The two of you.
The pair, we'll call them.
It's the person and their cat.
So if you're listening to this podcast, thanks guys. Hopefully this one's interesting. Okay, so if you go back,
hopefully it's interesting.
If
we can make it interesting.
We go back, we did a little like Part A and Part B on prophecy once.
I remember that.
I was talking about the Valley of Dry Bones.
Mm.
Yeah. And so I've probably heard a couple of sermons talked about dry bones.
It was funny because when you brought that up, I thought, goodness, I haven't heard that vision for years.
But I reckon I've heard a couple over the years, for sure.
No,
like, yeah. In the churches I've taught, you know, that it's just a great little metaphor to be able to, you know...
It was literally a vision, wasn't it?
No, but it is a great little metaphor for us to be able to go to bring into our life, look at our life as, you know, if there's a downtime, like, well, it's a valley of dry bones. Your life is a valley of dry bones. But don't worry, there's a breath that's coming, and you're going to be an army again. And the army that you were is nothing compared to the army that you're going to be. And, you know, it's all about this anticipation of and hope for what could be. So you can bring that and give it to someone, and you can go, you know, really generally speaking, where you are right now, you know, you might have...
Going through a rough patch.
You're going through a rough patch.
You know what? You will conquer again.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds very triumphalist.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that. But, you know, I have to be the... I don't know which is yin and which is yang. I have to be the negative side.
Okay.
I have to be the Bertie or Ernie.
All right. I'm usually the white. You know, the
white.
Yeah,
I'm the black.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what the name for the black... I'm not into Taoism at all. I just...
The funny thing is that
I'm dressed all in black.
And
you're
dressed
in
all
white.
In white. All right. Wow.
In a suit. And that ridiculous hat.
Feather.
And the feather. I don't know what... I don't know what animal that is even from. It ain't no bird.
But I was at like the home church on Monday night, and they were talking about just one of the guys just goes, we call it home church.
It's a lie, isn't it?
No?
Isn't it just a cell group?
Well,
like, you've got a church you go to.
What is the church?
Part of the church that meets in a home.
Define church.
Now I'm just being rambunctious.
Yeah, I'm throwing
silly.
It straight back at you and going, yeah, sure it is.
It's not a church.
It is church. Yeah, it is church. It
now,
is
do you
the
have,
church.
Do you have
we
bishops,
are
do you have deacons?
The church. Who is the church
Public
if
one,
we
suddenly
aren't?
Okay. Part of the bride. You're part of the bride.
And yeah, exactly. Which is the
part of the bride that meets in wherever you meet.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, whatever.
We'll call it the church.
Sure. Whatever.
The guy there said, looking at preaching this Sunday on the Valley of the Dry Bones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you got all... Did you look at your wife and go...
I said... I turned to him and I said, yeah, do you know what? I don't think I can come this Sunday, eh?
Wow. Why? Why can't you go?
I just was having a go at him. Yeah.
So, Peter is preaching.
No, not Peter. One of the other guys was there.
Oh, who's the other guy?
Jared. You know Jared.
Oh, Jared. He's got dreadlocks, hasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, I think I know him.
Yeah, good guy. But
wears glasses.
Yes. Yeah.
This is the thing with the refugees. Probably the only Christian helping refugees.
The only one.
Probably.
Yeah, I think he's...
That's going to fire a lot of people up. Of course not. Calm down, listen up.
I think he connects with a fair few people who do the same thing.
He's an amazing chappy.
He was saying that there's a key verse within that story that God says to Isaiah, no, Ezekiel, sorry, Ezekiel.
Doing better
says,
now. I think it was Daniel there for a while. Go on.
Look at the bones. Look at them. And
it's the funny thing about Jared, he focuses on, he picks up things.
Yeah.
He slows it all down. He
yeah, slow it down.
The detail,
because
that guy.
Yeah, I guess like every sermon that I've heard on it, usually, like obviously they'll read it out and stuff, and but don't actually focus on the fact that right now, wherever you are, listener,
one person with a cat.
when you are going through that thing that you're going through, and it is hard, look at it.
Look at your bones.
Look at the bones.
If you can see your bones, listener, you need to get to a doctor because something's gone horribly wrong.
Look at the harsh existence that is right in front of you.
Yeah.
And see if you can't just experience what it is that you're going through. Because I think sometimes we want to live in the future as if it were.
You just took the words out
now.
Of my mouth.
Okay.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, we always want to, we live on the horizon, where Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have enough of its own concerns, but seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. That's the bit about living in the moment. Let's just worry about today, everyone.
I think we want to start prophesying to the bones, we want to start seeing the flesh come on, we want to start, you know, getting through this little checklist so that we can have the wind of God come through and revive these bodies, which is how the story goes. Look at the dry bones.
Yeah.
Wait for the next step.
I think, well, I mean, it certainly speaks to me. I mean, I'm certainly going through a patch at the moment where it's like, I always go through these, I call them existential dilemmas. They're not, they're just, you go in circles. Teaching can be very difficult, and you're just going, what am I doing? What am I doing? And you just go, and then I'm surrounded by Christians doing these amazing things, and I'm going, what am I doing? And I'm trusting to hold and wait on the Lord, not looking to the horizon, not shifting from the place. I had a really good chat with Dave.
Oh, Dave.
He's wonderful.
Oh, isn't he just...
And he said, you know, I look at what you guys are doing, and I'm going, I'd love to be a part of it. I know I can't be a part of it. And he goes, you need to just stop where you are and ask God, what is it you want to reveal to me at this time about myself? And I struggle with the whole self-referral thing. I'm not interested in that. This is going to go open a can of worms, but I'm not interested in my psychology at one level. I'm not interested in looking inwards and solving my problems. I am desperately seeking God outwardly. And I'm still on that. Remember a couple of weeks ago we met here and we're talking about the silence and the practice of silence?
That episode never made it.
Oh, that's right. You told me that at the start. Remember that, listener? Well, you won't, because it never happened. I'm glad, actually. It was a bit of a... wasn't one of our best.
No.
I don't think. But I've actually gone from that place and actually found it more difficult to be in silence.
It is so hard to be in silence.
I don't have time to sit there not praying.
To shut up the voices that are always... because we're always getting stuff speaking to us. Like, whether it's, you know, our social media feed, because we like that and we want to feed ourselves. It's interesting that it's called a feed. It's because it feeds something within us. And we, you know, we want to consume stuff there.
It's addictive. I mean, like,
television, there's ads. Driving down the road, there's ads on the side of the bus stop, there's ads on the sides of bins. That's what we've gotten to.
Oh, you put a post up to that.
Bins. I stopped by the side of the road.
Yeah.
And I took a photo of this awesome bus stop.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
There's a series of them. I think I might do a series of posts. There's a series of bus stops down in South Perth. and someone's done some beautiful artwork all on the side of it.
Birds with no eyes.
And I said, yeah, because that's where the holes were. That you can see the bus coming.
They're old school bus stops.
Yeah, they are.
They're from the 70s, those things.
They're really cool, though.
I just had a big flashback to living in Warwick.
And anyway, I said, someone somewhere needs to be commended for allowing art on the side of these bus stops instead of a space, another space for advertising.
Well, let's be honest, real estate faces on bins.
Faces on bins, politicians on the sides of bins.
Who the individual is to take those photos, but they look like, try and look like a lizard that's been startled. Like, and they're attractive people, some of them. Like, I've seen them in person. I think, you don't look like your picture at all. Number one, your face is not that shiny. That's like, and then there was a slightly upper angle on the photos, make the people look, you know, vulnerable. Not a good idea. I think it's about what you're saying is...
What I'm saying is there's so much stuff speaking to us that's all we're used to. So to actually just, you know, stop it in its tracks and go, I'm actually going to be silent right now, is really, really difficult. So we were talking about the art of contemplation and the art of,
that's right.
Or some people call it meditation or just, you know, practicing silence.
And Richard Rohr, which, you know, both of us have had dealings with you through
podcasts.
I mean, I've worked with a colleague who's mentioned him a few times, and I've listened to him in the past. And the podcast you put me onto Liturgist.
Yeah,
that was amazing. Amazing podcast, and that really pricked up my ears about what he said about contemplation. And you know, as I said last time, was that, you know, I was led to read St. John of the Cross, which is a 17th century mystic, and this whole concept of the mystic delving into the mystery of God, which reminds me, you know, I was talking to my year 11 students today, which we're studying aesthetics and Kant's analytic of the beautiful, and I'm my brain is like, because I don't want to bore anyone with all the details of that, but as part of that, trying to get the students to understand, and even my own journey with this work that Immanuel Kant wrote, which is largely neglected. Most of Immanuel Kant's work on ethics and his philosophy in general is very highly regarded. It's amazing stuff. But his material on aesthetics is by and large neglected. But what seems to be the underpinnings of his work is that this stuff reveals God. And in talking about this, about the nature of God being beyond our comprehension, we got on talking about a guy called Wittgenstein. And
great name.
It is a great name.
Wittgenstein.
But his story is amazing. Like an amazing story.
Even more amazing
story
than his name.
Yes.
Wow.
Most certainly. We'll do a podcast on Wittgenstein one
really?
Day. Yeah, we should.
Okay.
We'll read his two works, and then when we're 70, once we've finished understanding them, we'll do a podcast.
Analyze.
Good luck to us. But he talked about the silence, that which cannot be... So his famous quote is, what we cannot speak about, we must pass over in silence. And he's getting at the ineffable, transcendent nature of God that, and again, with these philosophical writings, these guys are the smartest people of the age. Wittgenstein is an incredible man. And he basically says...
Wittgenstein.
Wittgenstein.
And it's spelt with a W.
Wittgenstein.
Great name.
So Wittgenstein...
I've said it once. I've said it a thousand times.
Ludwig Wittgenstein.
Wittgenstein.
And he just said, if God's creating everything, he creates the universe. We are in the universe. We are created beings in the universe. In the universe, we don't have words to describe the transcendent nature of God.
Yeah.
And look, scripture is about the revealed word of God. The only knowledge we have of God is what God has said about himself. That's all we have.
Mm.
Which makes it very hard for the atheist, because if you're using logic and you're using your faculties of reason, but you reject revelation, you can have no insight about God. It's simply not possible. And that's what these great, like Kant and Wittgenstein and Richard Rohr is getting at. You know, Richard Rohr talks about, he talk about the universal Christ? Is that what he was talking
Cosmic
about?
Christ.
Cosmic Christ, sorry.
Yeah.
And by
yeah.
the way, I don't know enough to talk about Rohr, but I think...
One of the things that he has... one of the things that he has says is really interesting to me, and this was talking more about that contemplation conversation that we had, was that we are so sticky for negativity. So anything negative...
Oh, that's right. It's like Velcro in our brain.
Exactly. Anything negative that happens to you will just stick to you straight away. You just can't get rid of it.
I mean, look what I'm wearing. It's all black.
Yeah, like, you know, you have a bad experience. Someone cuts you off. I remember on the way home just before from dinner before, we got cut off by someone who had a fish on the back of their car.
You should have made him into martyrs.
This guy came up from behind and he was like right behind us. We weren't going fast enough. We were going the speed limit, just a bit over actually, to be honest. And he just went around us and off he went. He must
have a Jesus fire.
And it just cracked me up because this guy had a fish sticker on the back. Mm. And it wasn't even one of those evolution fish stickers with the little feet down the bottom. It was a fish.
I've not seen that one.
You haven't seen that?
Maybe it was his mum's car.
Anyway, so that kind of thing, it just sticks to us.
Mm.
Whereas positive, something great happens to you.
It's like Teflon.
It is like Teflon. It just, unless
you... spend 10 seconds or 15 seconds?
I think it was 15 seconds.
15 seconds spend to stop
yep.
and reflect.
Reflecting on the good that has happened to us for at least 15 seconds,
so true.
It will not stick to us. It will not remain with us at a place that's going to actually affect us. So we're becoming more and more negative because negativity sticks, positivity doesn't, unless you spend time. So
I wonder why our brains are wired like that. I think because the negative is what we're trying to avoid, and so it's what we need to learn. Whereas the positive rewards, you know, we don't need that twice. That was fantastic. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. because of our need to survive, we'll pay attention to that which threatens us okay. over that which makes us happy.
That kind of makes sense, yeah.
I don't know if I'm right, but
if you've got a better idea, listener,
ring us up with your cat and
get in contact
go,
with us.
You know what? Let me clarify that. Let me look at some neurology.
Mm.
Pull up some Malcolm Gladwell and straighten us out.
It will. It'll straighten us right out. So we're going to finish up this podcast right now.
With a song.
With holy, holy,
holy. Holy, holy, holy. You knew it, buddy. You knew it. I'll click. Let me start.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to finish up this episode by saying... I have started a challenge. I've challenged myself.
Oh, sorry. You looked at me when you said I've started
no,
a challenge.
I know, because
here
this
we go.
Is what I was saying
okay.
last time with the conversation that never actually made it to the podcast.
Oh, that's right.
I've decided to take up contemplation in my own life.
Hmm.
It's going pretty well. So I've been going
good
for
on you.
About 2 weeks now.
My goodness.
I haven't done it every day.
Okay.
I haven't.
Thanks for being honest.
Probably not even every second day.
Certainly
every... I've done it more days than not this week.
So that makes it twice a week. So you've done it four times.
I've done it four times this week.
Okay. That's
and then, more than but last week I was a little bit... probably only did it maybe two or three maybe. So, no, I've definitely done more than that. Okay. Anyway, so...
So that's your challenge.
Yeah, my challenge is to
keep doing that.
Yeah, yeah, because there is a huge benefit. So
I totally agree.
Yeah, so apparently, you know, what used to be the art of meditation or contemplation was...
Menopause. The art of menopause, the inevitability.
The art of medication.
Oh, it is an art form.
Meditation is actually far more beneficial than we've ever let on about. So science is just catching up.
Yes.
To
yes,
how
yes, yes.
good it is.
Well, the neuroscience that they're discovering, like, holy cow.
Yeah. So this is actually really good for your brain in several different ways.
Mm.
So it's good for your memory. It's good for your ability to be able to focus, to be able to think straight about what you actually like. It's good for your ability to be able to navigate through what is actually worth stressing about and what is not. And so all of the unnecessary stresses that just get to us ends up when you're doing more meditation, it's like water off the duck's back. It just, it, you know, those kind of stresses aren't actually important because your mind is focused.
Not only that, you're cluttering your mind, probably.
But it's actually, I've done my homework in this. I've actually done a little bit of research. So it's actually really good for your immune system as well.
Go on, hippie Tim.
Immune system. I would have thought that it's all about the mind. It's all about, you know, and because your mind is so important or whatever, but it's actually good for your immune system.
Yeah, thinking, unblock those chakras. Goodness.
So
I can see your aura now as you're saying that.
Mm.
No, no, no. In all seriousness, there have been a bunch of articles published in the last few weeks that have gone, holy cow, there is actually a link between immunity and something else. They found these... I can't remember. Like, they've found, in the same way there's like nerves and things like that, they know about the nerves. But there is now evidence, there is clear scientific evidence of mental health, mental well-being, and your immunity.
Right.
So stress and anxiety will make you sick. That's, they've demonstrated that biologically. Like, we're feeling like, oh, it's weird. When you're stressed out, when you're anxious, you're more prone to illness, all that sort of stuff. And now they can demonstrate it. That seems to be what you're alluding to.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I've given myself the challenge.
I'm
going to take
this
on a little bit.
Every time we do a podcast,
just
we need to put it up on the thing.
Oh, right, okay.
Like a link to Wittgenstein.
Wittgenstein.
A link to...
Well, we're going
to
do a whole podcast on Wittgenstein, so we'll wait for him.
That's a big call. Maybe
we're going to do a whole podcast on Wittgenstein. We're going to do a whole podcast on...
Can't.
John of the Cross.
St. John of the Cross. Kant. Immanuel Kant.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Fire out.
So much content to be done in the future. Wow. Anyway, we've got to go.
Think about the future.
Get in contact with us.
My challenge is to wrestle a Labrador or a large dog when I'm out walking.
Could go for it.
So it's like a bear fight.
Justin has a challenge and I have a challenge. So we'll keep you updated over the next couple of podcasts. Thank you for listening, folks. Peace to you.